Being very old, unlike most of you, I can remember the days when all we had to use in our worship was the Book of Common Prayer. Well, not quite. We had the 1928 revision, which was nearly the same, but not quite. So for my first 30 years, that was all I knew in terms of worship, in terms of prayer. You'll hardly remember it, most of you, I can see. You know, you're much too young. But that's all we had. Until suddenly, first of all, Series 1 and Series 2 came out, and then we had the ASB and then Common Worship, and nowadays you haven't a clue what's actually going to happen because there's bound to be something new on the horizon somewhere very soon. But one of the good things about using the same book week after week, month after month, was that it became so familiar that you didn't realise that quite a lot of it you almost knew off by heart. And sometimes we were encouraged, I remember as youngsters, I can't imagine any youngster today doing it, we were encouraged to learn the collects by heart. And I have a funny feeling there was a prize if you managed it. So perhaps I tried a bit harder than I might have done. And I can always remember the collects. And so it's quite fun because one of my little jobs, mine and Esther's, my wife's, little jobs, is to the church administrator at St. Mary's sends us the welcome sheet like you have, you know, the news sheet, sends it to us on a Thursday because she's going to print it on the Friday and we have to proofread it. And one of the joys is that when it's a collect, an old collect, like it is today, I actually can spot little mistakes because I know it so well that it's there inside my head. And the collect for today is one of the ones that somehow, well, I think it's really, really one of the collects that's my favourite collect, or one of them anyway. And I love the way it begins. Almighty and everlasting God, well, that's fine. You expect to sign on to God like that and tell him how wonderful he is. But then it's the next phrase that's always stuck in my mind. You are always more ready to hear than we to pray. And then it goes on, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. And that was the bit that I know has stuck in my head and still comes around every now and again. You're always more ready to hear than we are to pray. And it made me think back to, you might say, people who are good listeners. It's funny, really, because when you think about it, apart from being hard of hearing, otherwise everybody has exactly the same capacity to hear somebody. And yet there is something about listening that isn't quite just hearing, is there? There's something about listening to someone properly is actually very different from simply being there when somebody says something. You don't necessarily register it. You maybe register it in a little bit of your mind, but you're not thinking about it. It flies away, and maybe it's sort of three nights later, you wake up in the morning and think, oh, they said so-and-so, didn't they? I'd quite forgotten they said that until that moment. It's usually Esther who says, look, did they tell you anything about... Oh, I can't remember. I don't remember. I obviously wasn't listening. Not at least listening in the sense of taking it in, of actually hearing what somebody says. But I also know people who are incredibly good listeners. Somehow they listen with an attention to what you're saying that makes you realise what it is you are actually saying. I often quote an elderly farm manager who said to me, the best advice I ever got was from an old chap. And I used to go and have a cup of coffee with him, and I'd pour out all my troubles about the farm and the people I was managing it for and so on and so forth. And I can't remember him saying anything at all except, and he got a pipe, of course, a grunt, perhaps an occasional nod of the head. But he said, after After an hour with that chap, I went home and everything seemed much more sorted and straightforward than it had been when I went. Because, he said, I'm sure that as he listened to me, so it made me listen to myself. I realised that actually I too had got to hear, not necessarily what I was saying, sometimes I wasn't saying it, but to actually realise, to register what it was I was saying, and more than that, what it was I was thinking. That business of being able to listen to someone, it's interesting because when I've ever had to listen to someone in some perhaps difficult situation, something where you're desperate to help but you're also feeling utterly helpless, what can I do for this person in this situation? I know that I have to listen, and I have to listen very carefully. And I don't think I'm just listening for the sound of the words. I'm listening for what lies behind what is being said. Perhaps you know those moments when you've suddenly had to listen to someone and realise there's far more being conveyed than just the words. It's feelings, how they're conveyed, sometimes with some kind of body language, but there's something that is coming across to you that is much more than just the words that are being said. And when you listen like that, I find it's surprisingly tiring. When I've actually had to listen, when I've been in a situation where, well, it's a difficult situation, all you can do is listen, I find myself quite tired afterwards, because I've really listened. I've really given every bit of my concentration to that moment. So, thinking about that, about real listening, about the listening that is costly to us as well as to the person who is talking, thinking about that, I then put it back into the collect and thought, Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray. So the picture is of God listening intently to anything and everything we've got to say. Listening not just to the words, but listening to what we're trying to get across, of our feelings, of where we are, of how we really feel. And he waits for us to share with him our deepest feelings, to share with him what really matters in our life. The how we do it is very different for different people. There's no wonderful kind of formula for saying this is how you should pray. There's no words that are the right words. It's not like that. It's much more that we want to share with someone who will listen, our closest feelings, our deepest feelings, what life is really like for us, what life is, its burdens and its joys, all of it, the whole of our lives. And God is desperate for us to share with him those burdens we carry, those joys we've experienced. That's all he asks from us, is that we will pray. We will offer to him what we are, where we are, and how we are. And as he does, as he listens in that very special way, that way of complete listening, complete absorption in what we are sharing, then maybe we find, as it says in the collect, we discover that he is ready to give more than either we desire or deserve. And suddenly, it's nothing to do with anything we've earned, how good we've been, and that will take us a bit further. It's nothing to do with that. He's going to give us more than either we desire or deserve. That's incredible. We may think, help, we don't deserve a great deal. Well, there may be a bit of us that says, well, I haven't done badly, you know, compared with my next door neighbour, so perhaps I do deserve a bit more. That's not part of it. And it's also nothing to do with what we desire, whether it's good or bad. What God does is to listen and listen and listen and somehow absorb what it is we're trying to convey. The joy is that just as in our closest relationships, somehow we can manage to convey something that hasn't got any words to really share it, so we can do with God. We offer to him what we are, where we are, how we are, just as it is, as they say, warts and all. That's what God wants to listen to. Us sharing, the real us. It fascinates me, just on a sort of sideline, that in the reading from Ephesians today, one of the things we put on is truth. And one of the things we desperately need to put on in our prayer is truth. The truth of the situation. What things are really meaning to us. Where they're really taking us. Not where we ought to go, but where we are going. Where we feel we're going. Where we feel we've failed. And also where we feel we've succeeded. God simply wants to hear, and he's more ready to hear than we to pray. But so all I can say is, find a moment, a time, find some moment in your life, and it needs to be part of your regular routine. That's so important. Sometimes people have suggested that it used to be when you did the washing up, but everybody's got dishwashers now, so it doesn't. So perhaps when you load the dishwasher, I ought to say nowadays, when you load the dishwasher, why not make that a moment for sharing with God something of what's happening in your life, of what's happening to you, good and bad. And if you get into that routine, sometimes for some people it's last thing at night. I'm much too dozy by then, so it doesn't work for me. Or you can have first thing in the morning. I'm not actually a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed person in the morning either, so I have to have mine at different times of the day. But it needs that moment, that, well, a few minutes, if you like, as you do something very simple and routine, to somehow be set that as your time for telling God what life is like. And feeling that sense of being listened to seriously, being listened to sympathetically, being listened to by someone who does love and care and wants to be there with you in whatever it is. So, there you are. Have a go. Find a moment. Have a think now, for just a moment, of whereabouts in your daily routine, the kind of thing that comes up day by day, whereabouts could you put those few minutes, few moments maybe, to actually tell God what life is really like for you, and know that he is listening intently, desperate to be there with you and share with you whatever it is you've got to bring to him.